Now we'll call the meeting to order, and we have all of the commissioners here, as well as a number of members of the staff, and then some help also from the State Wisconsin Investment Board and DPI if there are other questions. So thank you, everyone, for being here.
I'll move it up through the minutes.
Thank you. I'll second that. Any discussion about the minutes? Then all in favor of approving the minutes from October 18th, say aye. Aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Matt.
All right, the minutes are approved. We do have some loans to approve this month, and I've got to find this packet again.
On page 5, Greg.
Okay, so we have 14 loans totaling about $8.5 million.
They have been approved for public purpose.
Thank you.
In that case, I'd move adoption of those 14 loans.
And I'll second that. Is there any discussion regarding the loans? All in favor say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I'll vote no.
Okay, then the loans are approved. And that gets us on to kind of the meat of this meeting, and that is item number 4, a discussion and possible vote on the proposed investment policy and asset allocation model that was distributed. And we've seen this before, but there have been some revisions along the way to address concerns raised by, I think, board members and some outside people that have been consulted as well. So we can get things started, I'll make a motion to approve the investment policy. Do we have a second?
Not to approve it or discuss it?
I'm moving to approve it so we can have the discussion.
I don't know. I don't know if we can support it.
Well, I'll second it so we can discuss it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's simply the purpose of it. I think the Roberts rules warrant that. So, beginning the discussion, we should note at the outset that we have consulted with our partners, in effect, the beneficiaries of the investment work we're doing. The Wisconsin Educational Media and Technology Association has submitted a letter in support of this. They've had a chance to review the proposal, as has the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, who also has had an opportunity to review that with his staff. Bob Soldner is here. Is there anything you want to add to that?
No.
Okay, thank you. And for general purposes, just a general description. The effort is to address the legislature's new directive that we adopt the prudent investor standard in our investing, and we wouldn't do that without a policy. This policy attempts to address that, and one of the main goals of this is to develop, in effect, a smoothing account, so that as the market fluctuates, we can set as close to it as possible a guarantee so that the school libraries know what to expect in what we're able to provide to them each year. It does limit how much of our investable funds we can place into this smoothing fund, it does set limits on how much money we can invest and what types of investments we can make. So with that, I'll open it up to other discussion.
This is Doug. I don't have much to say. I reviewed the changes, all of which seem to be making things more cautious and more prudent. And they all seem to be sensible to me. I guess I'm mostly curious what Matt has to say. He seems to be somewhat negative, so I guess we need to hear what his thoughts are.
Well, I mean, I think the concept of what we're trying to do here makes sense. We need to expand our universe of investment. My only concern is, when I read this document the first time, as well as how I read it now, it basically just sets up an investment committee, which is basically Jonathan and two other people that work for the school. And I just kind of see it as a route around us. And obviously, I know, Doug, you talk about this in other aspects. I mean, we have a job here, and I mean, we make loan approvals for $25,000 loans. And the way I read this, I have a few questions about, because the asset allocation model is different, and it gives ranges. So I guess one thing that I'd ask is, what are you all able to buy? So if this got approved today, you know, let's say, arguably, you know, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, could the next time we meet as a three-person board, could you have bought $100, $200 million of stock? I mean, up to, seemingly it says public equities, 15%, so that's $150 million of our fund. So my question is, you can go out, I do appreciate the fact that you guys scaled back the, that you can't buy one individual stock, and I think that was something we talked about in our last meeting, but that wouldn't stop you. It also says managers can buy one individual stock. So if you all hired a manager, that person could go out and buy $50 million of any one stock. And I don't see that that's listed on.
Are we going, is that true? How could a manager do what you can't do? That strikes me as not
true. All managers buy individual stocks. If we hired an ETF manager, what that ETF manager would do is buy a series of individual stocks.
Let me address that.
The important thing is it takes away the risk that anyone here, either a commissioner or a member of the investment committee, could do something improper and invest in their friend or family member or whatever, or some other way they could benefit. It's to try to limit that liability. But most of our investments will probably be put in managed funds.
And I get all that. I also just don't understand why we couldn't just hire the managers. I mean, if we're going to say we're going to park $50 million, $100 million, $150 million in this fund, I don't have a problem with the staff doing the background work, bringing it to us like they do every other loan that they bring before us. Another thing that I find set up odd in comparison to how this board is set up, constitutionally protected, three-person, two-person needed to do a vote, this sets up we're basically giving up that authority, handing it over to this investment committee, which is new, and it says that two of the three must vote on it. Well, it's also an odd situation because Jonathan is the boss of the other two people, and I think Jonathan's a good person. I'm not saying anything specifically, you know, nefarious, trying to do bad things here, but the other two people work for Jonathan, and if Jonathan leaves, there'll be another person there, and the other two people leave, there'll be another two people there. So basically, it's a one person, I mean, he sets the salary, raises, end of the year, how much their salary goes up. He is their boss. You're not my boss, I'm not your boss, and vice versa. So it takes some of that away, and I got to imagine that's odd if you look at, like, how a SWIB would be managed and stuff. I'm assuming there are people at different departments that don't appoint, that aren't, you know, working directly under that person. So that's a concern I would have. And it's not that I think Jonathan's out to do something bad necessarily, or the other two gentlemen. I just think
didn't know I had that power.
But I mean, the two people do work for you. So if you thought this was a great idea, most people want to please their boss. So
the two people are highly professional civil servants that, you know, I can't really push around.
Well, and Jonathan,
I could make their life a little difficult for anybody.
But I worry about worst case scenario. And Jonathan, we had a conversation. I said, well, what are you going to buy if we give you this authority? There isn't any one specific thing out there because the market is high. The market's at 18,000 when I last checked it. It's still up there. And so Jonathan said to me, well, maybe we buy some, you know, some of these things that have high rate of returns and dividends and so forth. But everybody's buying them.
Can we address that for you a little bit here? As far as the management, if we hire a manager, we're going to do an RFP for that manager and set up some criteria by which we evaluate the manager and then bring the results to this board for your consideration in hiring that manager and concurring with us.
But that's...
It is stated in there. It is stated in there that we would have a... It doesn't... I'll rephrase it. It doesn't say the RFP. It doesn't get into the weeds like that, but that's state procurement law. I mean, that's what we would do, what we have to do. So what we expect to be doing is... Let's say we wanted to lay off some of this money with a fund manager or SWIB. We would need to modify our investment plan to make sure that it meets SWIB. SWIB isn't just going to take our money and say, we're going to invest it the way, you know, the way we want. We have some constraints here and might want to constrain it further. I would suggest you address a couple of these questions to Tom or Rich, because they have more detail and probably richer answers. And then if we've got Brian Hilmer here that might address the issue of an investment board.
Mm-hmm.
So I've forgotten that we are proposing to hire a manager. I thought we...
We may hire a manager.
And that manager is going to charge us a fee. They don't do it for nothing.
Right.
So I don't see why that's... I don't support that. I mean, I think that we have enough in-house people at the moment. As we do this as a trial basis with a limited amount of our funds, that we should see how that goes. And as far as Matt's concerned that this three-person committee would be able to decide to do what the three-person committee had come up with as a good idea without our not our approval, I also don't remember that. I don't see why we couldn't approve these. We meet every 2 weeks. Rich can tell us if there's an emergency where you need to make an investment quickly.
And if we were doing that,
emergency meeting.
To that point, wouldn't it be selling at that point? It wouldn't be buying. I mean, it's not like I should assume we're not doing a hot stock tip here, that we would be making models of money. I mean, give you an example. When I think the stock market is very high right now. So if we put $150 million, which is the basis point here, 15%, the market could go down dramatically, especially after this new election. We don't know that. Nobody here can say that. I can't say it will or won't. But my concern would be is if it does, let's say it goes down like it did in 07, 08, it could go down 40%. That's a $60 million loss.
So we're better off to wait until after election and buy after it goes down.
But we're not getting that. As soon as we, if we were to authorize this, I don't think there's anything. And the other thing is it's not 15%. This says target asset allocation, but then there's a range. The range goes up to 17.5 for equities, 15 for real estate, and 5 for venture.
You know why that's there? Because you might actually have an increase in your equity portfolio, and you don't want to force yourself to sell things if you go above your allocation. You know, and
that's the
same thing for the issue in real estate and leverage.
That 100% in that asset allocation formula, that addresses the 15 to 18% of our assets that
Correct.
We'd be investing. So
Correct.
We're not talking about the whole $1 billion.
We're talking about 15 to 18% of total.
Well, 15% of a billion is 150. 5% is 50, and 3% is 30. So that's 200 million. And I find the 3% of the venture capital up to 5%. That's $50 million. Nobody here has an expertise in venture capital, and I understand you'd be doing it probably with UW or with
only Lyft. Investing in venture capital.
But this would authorize you to.
No.
Yes or no?
It would authorize us to invest in venture capital. We don't have the expertise to do that. We would be doing that in partnership with Swift and Wharf.
But to Doug's point, why couldn't that just, let's say it was a $50 million opportunity.
That would actually come to this board.
But this doesn't say it needs to be.
Doing venture capital with Wharf, normally pretty good investment. Over the years, Wharf's done.
I mean, I think there's a lot of money to be made out there, I agree, but I personally right now would not be putting any money in any of these stocks right now. That's my opinion. If this was in a down economy, I would say, why wouldn't we buy an index fund with the whole down market? Kind of like that's the very...
Likely where some of our money will go. I think you over about an extended period of time. I don't think we'll be investing anything more than a little bit each month until this market settles. It's crazy to put a whole lot of money in at one time on the table when you don't, you know, then...
Mm-hmm. Well, I read an article that we've been around 18,000 for the last, give or take, 2 years, up and down a little bit, but give or take, it's ebbed just around 18,000. I personally think we're going down at some point. So if we buy, and again, once this authority's been given, it's like Doug, Brad, and I, we're out of it. You're three.
Well, Matt, once this authority has been conveyed, you're getting real-time reports, you're getting quarterly reports, you're getting all sorts of information.
But they might be going down, 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 down.
Well, there's nothing, but we meet as the commissioners, we meet every 2 weeks.
I mean, you don't have any...
No.
Go ahead.
There's nothing that stops us from and we should be encouraged to exercise oversight.
Well, we could adopt this today and then get rid of it tomorrow. You're exactly right. I mean, we can change our policy at any time. But this is kind of the big policy that we're setting, and I'm not saying that the asset allocation model is wrong. The percentages seem in the ballpark of what should be. I agree with that model. I just have some question about timing, and this would be authorizing today. So I'd ask this question, if you would kind of imply there'd be 10, 15, 20 million, you do it drip, drip, drip a little bit, where would we first be buying? Because it would be nice to know from our commission.
Well, we're prepared to answer that. Tom and Rich can address that question.
Again, having that answered, I guess I'm negligent for not knowing this ahead of time. Maybe I forgot it. I've forgotten that the three-person committee was going to go ahead and do this without our approval. At our regular meetings, there'd be on the agenda, it would say proposed investment in AT&T of $10 million. And I also didn't think we were going to be buying stock. I guess we're not.
There are.
I thought the investment would be to put so many million dollars into a Morgan Stanley certain kind of a fund. That's what I always thought we would be doing, in the beginning. And if you came to us and said you propose as a start, let's say, for fund at our next meeting, assuming we approve this, that you propose to start out by putting $10 million into Morgan Stanley, I only mentioned them because the name's on my head because you just talked about them screwing around with the bucks. But anyway,
I didn't phrase it that way.
For a public meeting,
we propose to put $10 million into Fidelity's long-term asset fund. And we would say, well, what about that fund? You say, well, here's what it's been doing. We'd say, well, that makes sense. Go ahead. That's what I envisioned happening. And Matt is now reminding me that it's true.
Yeah, and that's what I would expect if you guys said to us, we're going to put $50 million in this fund. And then the three of us would take a look at it. You'd give us this in advance, and we'd say, this makes sense or doesn't make sense. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, there are a number of important limitations on what the committee can do. They can't invest in individual stocks, just passive investments. There's no more than 5% to any company. There are no derivatives, no leverages, and changes to any of this would require a public meeting. It is limited to 15 to 8% of our assets, and then it's designed the specific formula for how much goes to a seizing fund, how much gets distributed to our beneficiaries. So there's been an awful lot of questions raised. Can we maybe take a pause and let Tom and Rich maybe address some of these?
as you know, Wisconsin statutes and our fiduciary duty require us to diversify this fund. That diversification is going to improve the risk-return profile of the assets, in addition to allowing us to capture some capital gains to add to the principal of the fund. Because the fees, fines, and forfeitures and unclaimed property are still being added to the common school fund, that shift to assets other than fixed income is a relatively small part of the portfolio. Now, once a policy is approved, the first course of action will be to do an analysis on the most prudent way to enter these new asset classes. We'll be taking a look into whether we should have a separately managed account, hiring an external manager directly to make some of these investment decisions for us, whether we should be investing in ETFs or mutual funds, whether we should look at active asset management versus passive asset management index funds, whether we should be tilting towards certain sectors or not. So what we'll be doing is searching for the most prudent way to move forward into these new asset classes.
And then after you did that, you'd come to us and say, here's what we've decided. We've decided that the best thing to do is U.S. Steel.
One of the problems with that...
No individual stock.
I just said that.
That publicly announcing one of the investments that you're going to make may not be the most prudent course of action.
Well, we could go into any time we should go private.
I don't understand your answer.
Well, if we announce that we're going to invest $10 million in U.S. Steel, someone might go out and front-run us, they would buy U.S. Steel in anticipation of us raising the price.
Well,
and so we would have to pay a higher dollar price.
You have to have a lot more closed meetings.
And the way that we announce the meeting?
A variety of things you were going to be researching.
Go ahead, Tom.
And I was saying that at that point, you'd come to us and say, our research has told us that we think these are the most desirable routes to take at the moment.
Right. You know, one of the things that we would be researching is independent managers and their fee structures. And if we would bring that to the board to discuss what, you know, if we decided to recommend an independent manager, we would certainly bring that to the board for their approval.
Or if you decided that you thought going just to a mutual fund from one of two or three different choices, Fidelity, Morgan Stanley, you'd bring that to us?
No. And, I mean, I guess...
No, the answer to that would be no. I think that...
I don't like that answer.
Well, I'm going
to
make a...
We're going to have a lot of closed meetings.
Well, hold on.
That's okay. Closed meetings are easy to
I guess I'd like to make a point on that. I think everybody makes... understands it has to be diversified. So you're saying different funds and blah, blah. I mean, you could literally take any of the mutual funds, the ETFs, the index funds, where they have the entire market. And I don't know. I'm not an active investor. I don't know if my two colleagues on this board are, but there's a lot of articles and a lot of research saying that these money managers, these mutual funds, they inevitably don't beat the whole market, the full market. They usually do worse than it on average. So my question is, when would we put the money in, though? Obviously, I want it as diverse as possible. We're not buying any one stock, Coca-Cola, Pepsi. We're not doing that. We'd be buying a whole sector, Apple on down. But the question is, when do we put the money in? And if we vote for this, I haven't heard anything to say that within a couple weeks, you wouldn't even have to hire managers if you just bought a whole mutual fund, correct? I mean, you could just buy, I've got the Vanguard Total Market Index Fund. It has $500 billion in it. So it's the biggest one in the, and it's great rate of return. I just think it's not the right time to buy it because it's high right now, and it's going to go down, I think. Now, that's my opinion. I'm not the whole board here. And I just would be very afraid this thing goes down 10, 20, 30% right now. And obviously, I recognize that if you don't buy stocks, stocks are going to go up and down. They just don't.
And we don't have to start buying immediately. We can instruct them that, assuming one of us agree with you, or both of us agree with you, that at the moment, even though we have the authority, we'd like to hold off for a month or so and see what settles down after this election. And if we told you that, you'd do it, presumably. You wouldn't go out and invest money if we told you not to.
Of course not. You know, one of the things that you might want to consider is that there is a cost of not doing anything. The stock market has a dividend yield. The stock market has an expected return. Assuming that we don't do anything, we are going to be earning 0.5%. Assuming that the stock, well, the stock market, the S&P 500 yields a little bit over 2% right now. You know, I think a reasonable assumption for the next year might be that the stocks go up 3%. I mean, that's pretty reasonable.
Cool.
If we decide to stay where we are and do nothing compared to investing in that market, that relates to about $20,000 a day that our beneficiaries will not
have. Okay, I'd like to make a point to that. So what Rich said there is there's a cost of doing nothing. If this market's going to go down, there's a huge cost of investing. I mean, any person who had cash in 07 would have been going back, terrible decision to have flooded the market at that point. They would have been better to wait a year or two or whatever it was. My whole point is, I understand that this board will be buying stocks at some point. I get that. I just don't like the timing of it, and I don't like the fact, what's the point of having the three elected constitutional officers? We meet every other week to go and approve loans ranging from $35,000 up to $5 million like one today. If you all want to buy something, this isn't, if we're going to spend $50 million in a stock fund that has $500 billion, it's not going to have any kind of super effect on it. I just don't believe that. But it's about whether or not we do it. And my whole point, and I've tampered on it, Doug's heard me back, going back when we had the previous, I just think at some point SWIB makes sense. Now, are you at SWIB, correct? At some point, I've been given the runaround a little bit from the newest guy there. He's kind of said it's been pushed back a little bit. Mr. Williamson said that. That it's, at some point we did add ourselves to that fund. And I think, from what Brad, I think, was talking about insulating us as a board, at some point that's the best way to do it. We just put it with SWIB. They could, we could literally add our money to their fund, and we would set the amount, $10 million, $100 million, $200 million.
You would pay fees to invest the money to your SWIB.
Just like at a manager.
About $3 million a year.
What are those fees? Do we know?
About $3 million a year.
Well,
they would charge us $3 million a year?
They would charge, we don't know because we'd negotiate that, but SWIB's rate would be in the neighborhood of, what, 300 basis points? Something like that, maybe 400.
We don't currently, to my knowledge, at least have outside clients. So I would not want to speak to what SWIB charge.
I mean, we certainly could give some of the money and say direct it into these mutual funds, but park it over there. They're not going to charge us very much to throw it all in.
Yeah, I got to say, on the one hand, you expressed concern about loss of control by the commissioners, but on the other hand, what you're proposing, if we put it in SWIB, that we kind of lose all control.
I get what you're saying there. I get that, that's a valid point. My point is, I don't want to do it now. This is being pushed to do it now. If this, if you guys came to us and said, we're going to put $100 million into a stock portfolio, and I thought it was the right time, I'd say yes. But to the whole SWIB argument, I believe that there are professional people over there. They know what they're doing. They have $100 billion. This is the largest fund. This fund is $1 billion, right? This is the largest publicly managed fund in the state. The other one is not the taxpayers' money. That's the retirees' money. That's not the public money. This is the only big fund. This is $1 billion. And I trust SWIB. Everybody universally trusts SWIB. So you're right. They could make some mistakes. Like, you know, they have ebbs and flows, ups and downs, too. But I trust them over there. I do. I just do.
I don't mean to suggest that you shouldn't.
I don't think you're saying that, sorry.
We can't prevent market fluctuations, but what we can do is set limitations that limit risk. And I believe that in this policy, and I've gone through this with some of the lawyers at DOJ who do this kind of work a lot more than this criminal prosecutor does, and they believe that the limits that are in place here do as much as we can limit the risk of someone engaging in unethical behavior with the money, and they hedge against catastrophic losses. That the market may go up and down, but the way this is set up, we don't lose our shirt and our pants and the horse we rode in on.
Could Brian,
a question for Matt.
Go ahead, sir.
You're concerned about the timing, which I understand. I'm not sure I agree or not yet, but I understand it. If we gave the money to SWIB,
the issue
would still be a concern.
I wouldn't want to give it to SWIB now. I'd want to. Okay. We have 3 years. I have 3 years left. You've got.
Yeah, I understand. Now you've clarified. So your desire to involve SWIB possibly would also be. You'd also want to delay doing that for a while. Okay, I got
it. I have one question for Brian, though. So, I don't know if you know this. I know you're new to SWIB. Do you know when the people that make the investment committees over there in the various groups, the bond markets, the equities markets, and I think you're in the equities market, do the people making the decision, do any of them appoint the people on the board that make the consensus with them?
Oh, so that's a good opening. So, yeah.
And I don't know how that would work.
I think one of the things you're struggling with is that dividing line of governance versus operations, right? So at SWIB, the board, you know, the board hires the executive director, the chief legal counsel, and an auditor, and then the executive director approves all the staff hires. The board also sets an investment policy, asset allocation policy, very similar to this, but it's the employees that then enact it. So the board is giving away a lot of responsibility to the staff. Now, from the staff standpoint, we know we have a certain amount of latitude, but we also know that ultimately the board can have us all fired, the board can change the asset allocation policy, the board ultimately has total power, even though they've at least temporarily delegated a certain amount of power to the staff. I would just point out, you know, I think as you think about how much control needs to be in the document versus developing a document that is workable and then on top of it a working understanding of what the expectations are is a way around some of the concerns that you would have. So from a governance standpoint, there's a lot of ways to go. I mean, and everybody has a little bit different opinion on how to do that. Right now you talk about approving loans, but the staff is out there evaluating the loans, they're rejecting some loans, they're accepting others, and they're bringing them to your approval. So they're already doing some amount of vetting.
And they're bringing it to our approval.
Right, exactly. So
let me ask, in your department or your area, when you guys make investments, and again, I can't speak to this, I don't know anybody, if there's a team, is it a three, I'm assuming it's an odd number, three person, five person, how, is there a team, or is it one person that makes the decision?
So we delegate authority and sometimes down to one person. Like I have a person running, a single person running a utilities fund at SWIB who's managing about $600 million, and he's making those decisions. Now, what he knows is, you know, I have certain expectations about what that portfolio is going to look like, what kind of risk it's going to have, what kind of characteristics it's going to have, and he also knows that if he underperforms consistently, he's going to get fired. So, but he does have a tremendous amount of autonomy within the idea that we've hired a very professional person, they understand kind of the rules of the road. So it's not uncommon, I guess, Matt, to give a decent amount of...
I heard that. Here's my thought. You responded to him about authority, and that's what we are dealing with this summer.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I would be much more comfortable X months from now delegating the authority, which we always can grab back, as you pointed out. But I think in the very beginning, I would like our staff, the three-person group, et cetera, to let us know what they're thinking before they start doing something. As Rich pointed out, you got to do some research. That's going to take you a few weeks, I presume, or anyway, a few days. Then I'd like you to come back and tell us, okay, our research shows thus and so. And we said, well, that makes sense. You've decided the best thing to do is to go into blah, blah. And then we come back in another few weeks, say, in the blah, blah route, we've come up with these ideas. And we'd say, those seem to make sense. And then I think I would be more comfortable then giving you more free rein to start operating and reporting back to us on what you've done rather than what you propose to do at a certain point. That's kind of my gut feeling as a
to go off that,
manager
that,
here.
Yeah, and I would agree with a lot of what you just said there. I would, because it's not that I don't think the three people couldn't buy the right, you know, market funds and so forth, but at least we would know what we're investing in before it's invested in. And I mean, I don't see anything to stop right now us taking a 100% fixed income fund, which it is, and then moving it to at least 15% in theory. I don't think you're going to do it, but if there's nothing here to stop it from happening, it concerns me to authorize something. It's like giving away that authority, because basically I don't see anything to stop you from buying $150 million of equities in different funds. And I'm not saying you're going to do it, but you can do it. And I don't...
A similar thing arose when we went into bond buying, mm-hmm. municipal bonds, and this board prescribed the staff, Tom and Rich, from investing too much money at one time. I believe you provided a crunch of $50 million when you were on the board, Doug, that was allowed to be invested in Wisconsin-based municipal bonds. And then after that was invested, would you please come back and get authority for additional? So you didn't get into what bonds you were buying, because that was an evaluation. You got into how much exposure was going to be allowed. And insofar as we're not even contemplating entering the market rapidly, Matt, mm-hmm. we're thinking in terms of maybe $10 million a month after we've done our analysis and evaluation as we reach into this market.
Yeah, but that's $120 million in a year. I mean, that's...
If we did that much every month, yes, it would be. But what I'm getting at is maybe one way to deal with this and to provide and to follow the pattern that used to be there would be to limit the amount of money each tranche is allowed, subject to board approval.
And Jonathan, you probably, so from a governance standpoint, I'm on a lot of charitable foundations. Step one would be to pass the policy. Step two would be to potentially pass a motion that establishes some limit in terms of the timing or the size of the investing, right? I mean, so that would be a compromise based on concerns that are...
Going with that, the problem to the comparison that was given, it's not apples to apples. That's buying bonds in the state of Wisconsin municipal that aren't going to go bad. They're just not. This is buying something...
We have plenty of opportunities to have some of those bonds go
okay,
bad.
But my point being, that's not what you were buying. This, you cannot say that these won't go bad. This, you could buy a fund easily $50 million worth that could go bad real quick, and we would have no way of stopping it. It would have already happened.
Did the three of you, or your advice as a consultant, see anything wrong with the procedure I kind of outlined a minute ago? I mean, that limits you, but it seems to be reasonable unless you...
Well, especially if we're starting out here, why couldn't you bring them to the board for... We want to put $50 million, $25 million, $60 million in. I'm 100% in agreement with what Doug's saying here. Rather than just giving the blanket $50 or $100, say, what are you... I mean, obviously, the asset allocation is generally fine, I mean, as a percentage, but what are you buying?
Matt, you are correct that a lot of people look at the market and they say it's high. There's just as many people that look at the bond market and say that's high. There's just as many people that look at the real estate market and say that's high. The fact is, a lot of assets right now have gone up in price. And so the whole idea of an asset allocation is to spread the risk around, because none of us know exactly what tomorrow will bring. In terms of, you say, well, we approve loans. Well, the fact is, loans do not change an interest rate from the time that the application comes in to the time it hits your desk for approval. The price of stocks, the price of bonds, the price of everything else moves by the minute, by the day. You want to dispute that?
Well, obviously it does, but we're talking about making a decision to buy a fund. You're not going to make that decision day in and day out. You're not day traders here.
That's no, but the amount that you put in from one month to the next may change depending upon market conditions.
And I just, we will go on and on this. I would be fine with doing Swift down the road. I think everybody universally trusts them. And I'm just not, I think the market's high now. Maybe my co-commissioners think the market's fine. I just think it's high. And I don't want to put a bunch of money in the stock market. I just don't. No. I mean, and I'm 100% in agreement on Doug that we should.
What's wrong with the procedure I outlined?
Which I do support it.
I believe it would be far better to put a limit on the amount that we could put in between meetings.
What's wrong with us, with you bringing us the results of your research and let us hear about it before you go ahead and implement it?
I agree with Doug. What's wrong with that?
I'm going to tell you that I don't have the ability to assess what's a good investment. They can bring that to me, and I won't know the difference. I don't know. Do you have that capability, or
why do we know that they do? Why do we know that they do?
I guess you've raised a good point, and I guess maybe I lack the ability, but I do have a lot of nosiness. And I guess maybe you should tell me to forget my nosiness and shut up.
Well, that's no, not by any means. But we meet every 2 weeks. If there have been investments made in the 2 weeks since our last meeting, there's nothing that stops us as commissioners from asking for a report on what investments were made. They're only going to be small increments at a time. If we think there's something that's gone off track, we can exercise our authority before it's gone very far off track.
I agree.
And I think that's the best thing we can do in developing a policy, is just try to limit risk. And yeah, to control every decision by way of a policy is, yeah. I just don't think that's possible.
Let me say, I thank you for those comments, because you're right. I'm not an investment person. In fact, all my life I've steered away from ever buying any stock because I didn't want to think about it. I did buy some municipal bonds, and they've worked out semi-well, but I've always said, I don't want to think about it. I couldn't sleep nights if I owned U.S. Steel, you know.
I would never cut it as a gambler.
I don't go to casinos, yeah. You know. But anyway, that's off the record. I have to get the Native American vote. But that's a good point. But I didn't hear them saying that every meeting they were going to add to our agenda recent investment activity. That wasn't talked about. Did you plan to do that?
Yes, you know, Doug, over the last several years, every time we've made a bond investment, every time we've made any investment, we have reported it to the board in the subsequent meeting.
And then you'd do the same with this new proposal?
Yes, we would.
But I think we can go better than that and make it a real-time live report that you can access as a board member, see what our portfolio looks like. It can't be a public, you know, thing.
No, but to some extent, based on what Brad said, that may not be necessary, because if I got an email saying we just bought U.S. Steel, I know we're not going, I'm just saying that, I wouldn't know what in the hell that meant. I could call up a friend of mine at Morgan Stanley and ask him what he thought, but I wouldn't know. So I think having the reports at the board meeting, which would be, some of them will, we're probably going to have a few more in-person meetings probably in the beginning about this. where we can say, okay, we see that you bought U.S. Steel here, $5 million. Tell us about that. What motivated that? What was your thinking?
To avoid confusion, just using U.S., I know you're just trying to pick an example, but it's kind of confusing because they wouldn't be permitted to buy
that. I know. I know that completely.
I just don't know what I want to make sure.
Yeah. I mean, you've already exposed my ignorance about this, so I don't know what example to use.
Vanguard Total Market.
Well, I guess...
Fidelity, short-term, something or other.
Well, to what Doug was saying, though, I mean, obviously we would be notified. Nobody thought we would have been notified. At that point, it's a public. Everybody will know. So my point isn't that. It's that we didn't have a say in it, and I just disagree. I don't want to make... You're right, we're not buying individual stock, but as you said... Big amounts of money are going to go into various fund managers. I don't understand.
Only without your concurrence as well. We will not go to a fund manager without bringing the evaluation of the respective fund managers that we've selected.
Then why wouldn't we just do that?
And then you approve the fund manager as well as any additional constrictions that we may put on that fund manager in addition to our allocation.
Well, why wouldn't we, to your point on the RFP, why wouldn't we just do the RFP for a certain dollar amount, figure out who presented to the board? Obviously, we would
do the RFP for certain.
But right now, you would be making the decision, not us.
No, not for the fund manager.
No, it's all by you. Where does it say that we would be making it? Because the investment committee does all of this. The three-person investment committee.
Well, I guess
aren't elected.
There's no way I would hire a fund manager without this board being
and I think that goes back to there can be differences between what the board is delegating through the policy to get out of the day-to-day operations, but also there can be understanding as to what the reporting expectations are. The board ultimately can revamp all of this at any point, right?
Well,
you have the ultimate hammer.
Matt, how do you respond to Brad's very good point about himself and me? He didn't include you.
I'll include me too, as rather.
None of us,
I like that we're independent. You and I aren't going to, you're not going to do something unless you think it's right, and all three of us, I would say.
But we don't have the knowledge to know whether it's right.
First of all, I don't give full credit that the people that are here, these three people have some great knowledge. Nobody knows which stocks are going to be great or not, otherwise they'd be multi-millionaire. Everybody, my point is, if they're going to bring in money managers, there's no reason we couldn't look at the competition between the RFP and say, okay, yes. But also we'd be setting the dollar amount. Doug, I don't know if you're comfortable if tomorrow we did $100 million in stocks. Because that's what is available. $150 million is available.
Well, okay.
Immediately after.
We've been reassured, although it's not in writing apparently. And
not in writing.
That they're not going to do that. If it would make you comfortable, I would be comfortable after we adopt the policy, as you've indicated, then we could adopt a resolution saying we only authorize the investment of $5 million a month for the next 6 months to see what things are like. Now, I made those numbers up, but I would be willing to support something like that, which might make you feel more comfortable, and it probably wouldn't upset them too much.
No. I'd go a little higher than five.
Well, I just made, you know
what I mean?
You were talking about 10. We could do 10.
But I'm not at all sure we'll be investing that rapidly either.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
This is a market that we have to put a lot of attention to.
Well, how much do you think a ballpark your first amount would be? Because we're not buying stocks, you're buying a big amount of something. $5 million, $20
million. I can pretty fully answer that. You want to answer that, Tom or Rich?
Because of the fact that it all depends upon the situation.
A little louder.
Because of the fact it depends upon the situation, I would believe that the initial investments would be somewhere somewhat less than $20 million because of the fact that, again, I believe in feeding your way into the market at a pace, not jumping in at $150 million, because if you do jump in with $150 million on day one, yes, you have a much greater risk because your cost base is tied to one point in time. Whereas if you come into the market month by month by month by month, yeah, some months you're going to be lower, some months you're going to be higher, and over time you're going to average out at a certain point.
Well, so what Doug was saying, though, and again, I agree with you that we're not going to be picking every single money manager and so forth, but at least the dollar amount, because I don't know why you guys couldn't come to us just like we do with the loans and say we're going to do $20 million in a manager fund that we get. At least we would know about it.
I don't think anything about this policy prohibits the board from exercising the commissioners from exercising that authority if we choose to do so. We can set how much we're going to permit invested. What this does is it sets caps on how much of our overall fund we can invest, and it sets some allocation targets so that we do spread it among different allocations so that we limit the potential for a catastrophic loss as best we can, because all of these different things could tank at once. If that happens, probably everybody with an investment everywhere is screwed. But
well, I agree that I'm frankly worried about a stock market downfall, and that's just me, and that's my decision to make. And I just feel like right now is not the time that I want to buy stocks. And if that's something you all want to do, that's fine. But my point,
I think it remains two different questions. One is
how much.
One is whether and how much we start investing the money, and the other is whether when we do, this policy is a good way to limit those risks.
I'm okay with the little block that says what the distribution is. I don't know.
But your concern is there's no limit other than their word that they wouldn't do $100 million the day afterwards.
There is no limit.
The other limit is our authority to limit them.
Pardon?
The other limit is our authority as the commissioners to limit them.
We can.
But not
a thing. My idea, I said five, my idea of X million a month for the next 3 months, and then we'll see how it goes. That was my way of commit to.
But to go back to what Tom said, he said 20 million, ballpark, first number. I don't know why, because we're just starting out here, and what you said, maybe we get more acclimated, more get used to it, and we get more comfortable with it, of how the decisions have been made. I don't know why you can't just bring that to us and say, okay, we've got this money manager, we met with him, he or she's great, we want to give $20 million to this fighter's fund, or whatever it is. I don't think anything wrong with that.
You keep mentioning, I'm not convinced that I want to support a money manager. I don't
that's
see...
What that's what we'd be using, a fund manager.
Surely, we might... The fund
thought,
managers range like
that.
Crazy.
Okay, so then just buying a mutual fund, just a flat fund.
You can go to Schwab and get money management for 3 basis points.
Okay.
You don't get much for that. We can also do a passive index fund for no cost.
Well, like the Vanguard fund, which is basically no fund.
But
my point is, if you were going to buy this Vanguard fund, which is spread out, there's almost no cost. This is as low as the cost of anything investor shares. Why we wouldn't say to us, Doug, Brad, Matt, I want to do $50 million, $70 million, $100 million. Because right now, I don't feel comfortable with that amount of money. I just don't. And this is authorizing you guys. Right now, could you buy $150 million of this fund? If we pass this today.
I promise you I won't.
But could you?
But they can't if we adopt my resolution.
You're right, but that isn't what's before us. My question is, could you buy $150 million of a total market fund?
I think the answer is obviously
yes. I'm not giving a yes or a no.
The short answer is not at this time because of the fact that, believe it or not, Vanguard insists on interviewing you to determine whether or not...
Okay, let's say that it's half. Let's say, and they've accepted us because we'd be fine. Could we put a full amount of money in a total market fund under this policy that you all have before us?
Could we?
Yes. Yes or no?
Yes.
But
Matt,
you're beating this horse
pretty
hard. And they've all sort of said in response to you and now me that they're quite willing to accept some limitations so that you won't lose sleep at night that they're about to spend $150 million.
The first limitation, the most important limitation, and Doug or Brad accurately named them, is the amount and the timing.
Right.
I think right now we should just, I like the idea of, I don't have a problem with the asset allocation. I'm fine with it. A little bit in all those funds is fine. I get it. But I think that the first amount, considering they're not going to be little amounts, they're going to be $20, $50 million, bring it to us. I don't think that's too much.
I missed that. Your voice was...
I'm sorry. I don't think it's too much to ask that they bring the investments to us.
As I said before...
We'll ultimately have
I think the first thing they should do is bring the results of their research to us, which is going to take them a couple of weeks. And then at a meeting pretty soon, they'll say, we've looked at this, and as Jonathan has indicated several times, the options, we've now decided that SWIB is the best way for 3%, or we've decided that we're going to hire a money manager and pay them 6%, or we're going to forget both of those, and we're just going to go in and buy Vanguard, which costs almost nothing. And we'd say, well, that's good research. It makes sense to us. And then we'd say that, what?
And help me be a little bit better than that.
Yeah, and then we'd say, okay, starting this month, we authorize you to invest $15 million a month for the next 4 months and keep us appraised of what happens.
I think that would be a very reasonable limitation. And I really do. It follows a pattern that you adopted when we went into municipal bonds. Oh, by the way, on the third tranche, the board said, stop coming back to us with this and let it go.
There's also overarching all of this, the prudent investment standard obligation.
Right. Does that sound okay to you, Brad and Matt?
The prudent investor, obviously, is... But all these would be prudent, I mean, by them doing
it. I mean, what I said.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to get this meeting to...
I agree with what you said about limiting the amount initially.
The only thing I haven't done is respond to your timing concern. It sounded to me like you'd just soon not buy anything for a couple of months and see what happens.
Well, I'm 100% in agreement with you. It brought us something, and we thought, boy, this is a great investment.
And
I agree with you. We should know what we're investing.
I tend to agree with you. I'm a stock market skeptic, so I'm not comfortable with it at the moment. Brad hasn't expressed his concerns, but under my proposal, you're going to get what you want to some extent.
I think
because it's going to take them a little while to do the research.
I think we're getting out over our skis. As commissioners, our responsibility to the people we serve by being elected officials is to make sure that no unethical behavior can occur, or at least to the extent we can try to limit it, and that we don't leave the school libraries that rely on this funding to get through the year, that we don't leave them high and dry. Beyond that, the fluctuations in how the investments are made, I think it's extraordinarily dangerous for the three of us to get involved in deciding what investments are best.
It's not investments, it's the amount of money.
You don't support
the amount of money. It's the amount of money. And I mean, we're already, by doing this proposal, we're already putting a limitation on the amount of money. And you made a comment about what our job is. Our job is to make as much money for our beneficiaries as possible in a prudent manner. That's our job.
But things are becoming a little convoluted because you're talking at one point about saying we'll open up $15 million for them to invest over the next month or whatever. And pursuant to the policies that are in place,
of course.
But then you were also talking about them coming to us with the investment ideas, and we approve it based on whether that's a good investment or not. I don't have any issue with setting a cap on how much is invested. That can be all part of limiting our risks, and that is our responsibility. The idea of us as commissioners assessing whether the proposal is a good investment or not, I don't want to take that on.
Okay, so there's two stages of it.
I'm committing malpractice then if I...
Thank you, guys. Somebody call me and tell me how the story ends.
There's two stages, Brad, and
thank you.
Because it applies to your concern. I'm suggesting that I would like them to come to us with their research as to what general types they've decided to approach. If they were decided that they were going to buy index funds as the best way to go, then I don't want to decide whether Vanguard 1 or Vanguard 2. That's beyond my knowledge. But for me to at least hear and maybe ask some questions about why they chose SWIB or why they chose Morgan Stanley or whatever.
As a commissioner, I don't think anybody can take away your right to ask those questions. I don't think any policy can do that.
I'd like to have them explain their thinking as to why they've decided what is the best mechanism for us to use.
Well,
once we pick a mechanism, except to hear the results on a monthly basis, I don't want to decide which parts of that mechanism we should be doing. And that responds to, I agree with you about that.
One is, the point is well made, I think, by Rich, that we have to do that in a closed session because we can't announce to the world what we're thinking about investing in. And second, I don't think we're going to get around
that we are ultimately going to have to place an awful lot of trust in the investment committee to advise us on this.
I agree. No question about that.
So if you want to do that ahead of time, okay. Since we meet every 2 weeks, there's only 2 weeks.
Well, can't they?
They can only run wild
okay,
for 2 weeks.
So in order
to get that chance to ask them,
I have a structural question. I would like to propose a motion along with what I've been saying. Can I make that motion before we adopt the policy?
You
haven't adopted the policy yet.
Can you amend it?
What? You want to just...
Mention it.
Can we table the motion on the policy? And
he could just offer an amendment to the policy and ask it to be included.
Why don't you figure out what you want to do and then we'll see if it makes sense with the motion.
The policy should be clean as it is.
Right.
And my motion should be kind of a motion of how we can get started with the policy, not part of the policy. If I can...
You're right.
But in order to make Matt feel better about adopting the policy, he may still vote no. That's his priority. I thought we could adopt, quote, my motion, and then he would see that how we're going to happen after. You understand?
What are you thinking on that? What are you thinking?
So can I, Mr. Attorney? Can we adopt a motion before the policy? Maybe not.
Well, it seems that it's something that's conditional.
In that case, maybe you go ahead. I call the question on the motion on the table.
Well, you can adopt a board policy.
That's the motion on the table. Okay, I called the question. We have to vote.
Okay. All in favor of adopting the investment policy distributed today or prior to today?
Are you going to be making a motion to amend it, or we don't know that?
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make a motion as to how we begin to implement it as a separate motion, not part of the policy.
And that refers to about how much money? What are you
right.
limiting it, basically?
What I've been talking about.
Okay.
So all in favor of approving the investment policy that has been distributed, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt will vote no.
Okay.
So now,
that the policy has been approved. Now you have another motion.
And maybe, Tom, can you take good notes? Because you may have to fix this.
I'm doing my best.
I would move that we ask the... Investment committee, is that what it's called? It is, right?
Yeah.
Investment committee to perform the research which they propose to do and bring back the results of their thinking at a future meeting. I'm not going to say when because you know how long it's been.
You mean?
And we authorize them to invest up to $15 million a month for the next 3 months, 4 months,
six. You can always modify it.
The next 6 months, and give us regular weekly reports as to what they've done.
I know you're writing this. The only thing I would add to it that I liked about your first part, Doug, would be that when you said about the research, before you buy something, I'd appreciate if you sent us at least what you're planning to buy and the amount. I mean, we certainly can know it. You can send it to us. It's not going public.
I can give you a call.
Just send us an email. I'd prefer to know because I don't want to be... But I'm saying you could send it to us saying we're going to buy $25 million or $15 million of this fund probably in the next few days. Because then if we at least had some major concerns, we could call you and we could ask for another board meeting or something. But at least we would know about it.
Just in between us here... What about the thoughts? I just do not know because I don't want anyone ever to try to find out for me what we're doing. I prefer not to know because...
Wait, this is kind of confused.
I mean, they're
going to waterboard Doug.
Exactly.
That you'd have to share that with the public? I'm confused. Because even if somebody gets a record request...
He's saying he can't keep a secret.
Okay.
I can keep a secret.
I don't think anything they'd be buying is
secret. Okay, so Tom, have you worked out something that makes sense?
Hold on. So you want the investment committee to provide you with research on proposed equity investments?
Well, they report to the board on their research.
Okay.
At a subsequent meeting. And after that, they're authorized to spend up to $15 million a month for the next 6 months.
It feels like two things.
It is.
They can work it into one. I'll agree with both of that. I'll second that motion of the concept.
Brad, we can make that.
I mean, this
so,
is just,
so, just so I understand. So we've got the second, so we can go on with the discussion. So as I understand, what you're seeking to do is review the broad investment ideas before we implement the policy.
And I didn't say approve them, although we have the right to stop them if we want to, as you pointed out. But I didn't say we have to approve it. I just like to hear what they're thinking about. And I can ask some questions. And then, at that point, they can begin to invest $15 million per month for the next, Matt says 6 months is good with him.
So it sounds kind of like what you're describing is sort of like a passive review by the board of the proposed research.
Right. But again, as Brad points out, it doesn't have to be passive. I mean, if you come to us and say, our research says the best thing to do is to buy lots of bicycles, I might say, wait a minute, I'm
not trying
to stop that, and I might get a second. But it's theoretically passive, unless we find the board doesn't like what's going on, and that's our prerogative, as Brad has pointed out.
I can see how that'll evolve into something that'll be useful. Every quarter, we issue a report on the bond environment,
mm-hmm.
and just talks about how directions we're going. I think that's entirely reasonable for us to be giving you a report on a frequent basis of how we view the market, and you know,
which options you're thinking are good
or bad, and generally where we think the opportunities lie or the opportunities do not lie.
At the same time, we'll be finding out what you've done every month with the $15 million, or $10 million, or $8 million.
Well, you'll also know how it's faring.
That's what I was going to say, and how it's going.
Well, I definitely, you mentioned having access, I don't know if it's just a snapshot where you could send us a PDF every other week or whatever, or log in. But I like what Doug mentioned there, and I agree with it. And I mean, the only thing I'd say is when you're making this investment up to $15 million, whenever we can approve it after that, it'd just be nice if you sent it to us, just so we have it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with us.
John has suggested he'll call you, which is the safer way to do it than put it in writing.
There's nothing wrong with it in writing. I don't know what the problem. I prefer it in writing. I like to see it.
With an email?
Email's all I would want. It's just like,
emails become public. Just ask
if they're buying
it. We don't mind. If it becomes public after the investment's made, that's
how it should be. And I can, if I got a...
He wants to know 2 days ahead of time.
Well, even if it's the day of, it doesn't matter. I think there's nothing wrong with notifying us saying we're buying $20 million in a stock.
Except the exceptions to the public records law would certainly entitle us to hang on to an email about investment decisions until after the decision.
Yeah. Or, and you're not going to respond to them.
So do we have a second to my motion? No,
yeah,
I'm sure I'm taking
it. He did.
I seconded that? Okay. Thank you, Matt.
Okay, no problem, sir.
Okay. Is there any other discussion
related
to this?
We need to have Tom try to read it now.
I think you're going to get a copy of this, and you're all going to concur about it before we book it. All right? Meaning, because...
Well, we're doing it today. I'd like to at least have a general vote on
the concept. The point is Tom and you have the essence of what...
I know what you want, and I don't have any problem with it.
Well, I can... Why doesn't Tom tell us back more or less? I understood exactly what Doug was saying. It makes sense to me.
Okay.
The investment committee shall report to the board with respect to research on proposed equity investments prior to the purchase of any such investment.
I would change that to proposed investments under the prudent person.
So not just equity.
Yeah, it's not just equity.
Yep, I agree.
That means we can't buy any municipal bonds in between that.
What about equities? Just use the word equities. Venture capital and real estate—the three different ones. Those are the three new ones. They're the rest are the same. The rest are non-fixed income.
Right, Tom? I think
non-fixed income.
And we're keep buying good bonds. You did a good job with that.
The next piece of it, I'm scribbling on. Something to the extent of conditioned upon such presentation, the investment committee shall be authorized to to invest up to $15 million per month for the next 6 months in such proposed equity investments, unless the board votes otherwise.
In such proposed investments.
And the thing that Matt wants about notification could be a general person's agreement?
Sure. That's
we don't want that.
I'm sure Jonathan will give it to me.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Okay. Should we call the vote then? And, all right. All in favor say aye.
Aye, Matt.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Brad.
This has been a long haul.
I want to thank everybody for all the hard work it took on this. Putting together this investment policy, you guys spent many hours at the UW Business School and with many other partners to work to develop this. And I'm grateful for all that effort, in addition to all the stuff you normally do every day.
I second that.
Thank you. These guys do great work.
Is there any other new business?
Tom, thank you for...
I don't have an executive secretary's report. I already mentioned the issue of the bus. Anybody wants details on that, please feel free to call me because I can go into larger detail on
what was the bus thing I was writing?
The bus, the Wisconsin Center District has already notified us that they're going to repay their loan.
We made some money, but not a lot.
We're going to make over $1 million. Right. They won't repay it until December 17th.
We had the first year was mostly the loan.
But it gives us back that money again, and now we have to find some place to invest.
It's a good thing we adopted.
Well, the only thing, and we'll take a time because we've got a long meeting today, but one of our subsequent meetings, I've had some really good discussions with DOA people all over the place in regards to my building proposal stuff.
Okay.
And I'd like to find a time, and if we can't meet in person, maybe I'll have Jonathan hand deliver some big documents.
I think
the loan is 35.
Our loan was $35 million.
So they're going to give us $35 million.
Yes, on December 17th, plus interest.
So it's more cash we're going to do.
Plus the interest.
Yeah.
Well,
Thank you, Bob.
That's a good reason we got this stuff done, because you can start spending $15 million of that.
We will earn $1 million in that 1 month.
So
I'm just going to
on the future agenda item issues.
Does that have to do with the amortization schedule you want?
Yeah, this has to do with the amortization. I'll just leave it so they can read it.
Yeah.
The WASA line?
We're busy. Yeah, that's the WASA.
Yeah,
it's the WASA building. It's just something for you to read and we can talk about it.
I'll give you an idea.
So it's something that's appropriate for a future agenda item and probably the kind of thing we ought to attempt to meet in person because it's hard over the phone.
I have a question about that. For somebody, maybe our investment committee. I've heard Matt talk about buying buildings, and no disrespect, your spin sounds good. But I don't know that you're a real estate expert.
I'm not saying I am one.
Is there someone we could get to attend a future in-person meeting and give us more specifics on how this would work?
Probably somebody from DOA.
And what the risks and benefits would be. Because it sounds good on first blush. But I'd like to know more about the details.
Well, and just because I won't speak a lot on it because I know we have a long meeting, but what I want us to do would be buy only state facilities and then partnering with DOA so we use their expertise to build the buildings, rent the buildings, and all that stuff. We would basically just be the lien holder.
So we would have to have a DOA person come to the meeting and talk to us about it.
Not necessarily at the first meeting, but yes, at some point down the road.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Okay.
I move we adjourn.
I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Safe drive, Brad. You're going to a funeral of all things?
Oh, yeah. I've got a funeral. Thank you.
And we might have had a first this weekend, Doug, with you and I both.